Thank you, young man. I just told Brother Parsons that'd be a good one for Sunday morning. I think we probably did better in the election than a lot of folks thought, and better than tradition in the past has. But we didn't win it all, but we are still in the fight. Amen. Amen. And I appreciate that good message and song. Our friend, Brother Larry Hobbs, is going to come next. Larry, I want you to take us up to 11, because we got to let the high school come in at that time. Brother Hobbs has been a friend of our college, my friend, and he's had students in our college, and God's used him now to open a new work. I hope he'll take just a minute and tell us how it's going over there. And we appreciate you being with us, Brother Hobbs.
Thank you, preacher. Appreciate you. Well, it is a joy to be here, and we appreciate Landmark Baptist Church, Landmark Baptist College, and you guys support us, whether you know it or not. We appreciate that, and the church is going well. We started a church in Miami. We were there, homestead area, for 10 years, and a couple of our kids are here, Bevon, and who else is here? Jolene. And we thank the Lord for them. And, but now we moved up here to Palm Coast, Florida. And you say, where is that at? I'm not real sure myself, but it's over here on the East Coast. In fact, if you go to St. Augustine and Daytona, and then take your fingers and smash them together, right there is Palm Coast. And one of the fastest growing cities in America, 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and again in 2011, it was the fastest growing city in America. It always is in the top three. And there's not a soul winning work. There's another church that believes like we do, but there's no church going out and telling folks about Christ. And so anyways, we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to go over there and plant the church. It's going well. In fact, somebody from your church here recently, a member of your church, gave our church a bus that he used to pick up migrant workers to pick oranges. And he gave us a 15 passenger van. And we found out the van had carpet in it. After we looked for a while, I said, is that carpet underneath all that dirt? And it was. And so I took it all out and I pressure washed it about three or four times. We just painted it. It looks brand new. I'm not joking. I tell you what, our people are so tickled about that. I was praying and I said, Lord, I believe the Lord laid upon my heart for some reason that our congregation was to double by Christmas. And so I've been praying, Lord, I want to see it double by Christmas. And so we have our campaign this month, a growth campaign and everything. And Lord spoke to my heart the other day, and I said, Lord, how is this going to happen? How are we going to double our congregation? And he said, didn't I give you a bus? Didn't I give you a van? And I said, I guess it doesn't matter how they get to church. They are souls. I'm like, that's how it's going to double. So you pray for us. I just told our people about it, and I'm excited. We're going to get both those. They already have insurance on them, license plates, everything. Going to get those on the road. And we're going to double our congregation by busing them in. And I'm sure the Lord will then provide the workers for that. And we're praying the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. And so we thank the Lord for that. Thank you for praying for us. And it's a much needed work. And you would be surprised how many people say to me, you don't know, you are an answer to prayer. We've been praying for so long that there'd be a good King James only fundamental Baptist church in this area. You don't know how long we've been praying for you. And so we're so thankful for that and able to raise that banner high and not lower it at all. Don't have much time to preach. So I want you to listen fast and I'm going to talk fast. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. The Lord's help this morning, next few moments, and let me just say thank you so much, Brother Chad Stanley. That was awesome. I enjoyed that. I was eating it up. Amen. And I thank the Lord for him and his friendship. What a man of God and his wife and children. They love the Lord. So very evident. I've been able to go over there a few times at their church and love those people. Such sweet people. Thank the Lord for them. Revelation chapter number 2, with the Lord's help, I want to preach this morning for a few moments on wherefore remember. Therefore, wherefore remember, therefore, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly, remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Remember, therefore. Father, in the next few moments, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word. Use it in the hearts and lives of each person here. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll empty me of sin and self and pride. Forgive me any place I failed you, dear Lord. How I pray that you'll use me in these next few moments. I long to be used of thee today. Father, help me to be led by thy blessed Holy Spirit, Lord. I'm depending upon you. Please use us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I noticed something about our memories. The older we get, the worse they get. And the other day at church this year, Mother's Day, my wife was in the nursery, and she said to me, she said, honey, did the ladies seem to like the Mother's Day gift that I made for them? And she was up late, you know, making this candle thing. She printed something, did all this stuff. She said, did the ladies like it? And I was thinking to myself, I forgot to pass those out. And she was up late making them. And she said, how'd they like it? And I said, because we had other gifts. I gave, you know, the lady with the most children, all these other things that I did. I just forgot the, and I said, honey, I am so sorry. I forgot. Man, I tell you, there's a lot of things you can do in life, but to forget something like that, you're just begging for marriage problems. We have memory problems, you know? I'm reminded of the one lady who, she had two sisters. There's three of them, old maids living at home, never got married, you know? And one day, one of them was walking down the stairs, and she stopped halfway, and she said, I forgot if I'm going up or going down. And her sister said to her, listen, honey, you're going down. You're about to go have breakfast. And she goes, that's right. And so she goes downstairs. The other sister, halfway down the stairs, she stopped, and she said, I don't remember if I was going up or if I was going down. She says, honey, you were going up. You were going to brush your hair. And she says, that's right, I was going up. And she says, my poor sisters, she said, their memories are so bad. She says, I'm so thankful that at least I have a good memory. I better knock on wood. Oh, someone's at the door. And she, listen, we have problems with memory sometime. You know, we got to be careful about our memories. You know, one gentleman and his wife, they both were suffering from bad memories. They're getting up there. And they decided, you know what, there's a man in town who says that he can help us with our memory. And so they went to see the man, and he said he taught them how to memorize things through association. And they completed the course, and his neighbor was talking to him one day, and he says, how did that work out? And he said, it worked out well. He taught us how to help our memory. Our memories are so much better now through association. And he said, man, he said, I could use that. He said, what was the name of that doctor? And he says, oh man, that flower that has thorns and then the real pretty bloom, what is that called? And the guy said, a rose. He goes, that's right. Rose, what was the name of that doctor we went and saw the other day? So listen, we get problems with our memory. I'm sure of that. And as we look at this church here, this church at Ephesus, they had a problem with their memory. They had a form of religion, you see, in verses 2 and 3. Man, I tell you what, they were doing well. When you look at them there in 2 and 3, their labor, their patience, they couldn't bear that which was evil. They had the right stand. They were doing the right things there. But they had a problem. He said, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. They had fallen out of love, but I use that word loosely because the truth is you do not fall out of love the same way you do not fall into love. There's nobody who fell into love. Well, it was love at first sight. It might have been lust, but it wasn't love. Love is a choice. Love is a decision that you make, and you choose to love somebody, that's a commitment, or you choose to stop loving them, and that's what's happened here. They left their first love. But what is it that paved the way for this church to walk away from their love for God? Apparently, they had a memory problem. This church here had a memory problem. Here, John the Revelator is saying, remember, Ephesus, Ephesus. Listen, Ephesus, would you remember? Now, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians, chapter number 2. We're looking at the church at Ephesus again, but we're looking at the writing here of Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says here in Ephesians, chapter 2, and look with me, if you would, at verse number 11. the Apostle Paul is writing now to the church at Ephesus. And he says, wherefore, remember. Wherefore, remember. That's why I titled the sermon, Wherefore, Remember, Therefore. He's saying, listen, Ephesus. John is saying, Ephesus, you need to remember something. And then here you have Paul saying, Ephesus, would you please remember? Ephesus apparently has a problem with their memory. And the Lord is trying to help them here. And I don't know about you, but I don't like when I forget things. I try to do everything I can to not. You ever not want to forget something, and so you write it down? Say, well, I better write this down so I don't forget. Sometimes you're hearing somebody preach, like Brother Stanley, and you're over there going, I like that. I'm going to write that down because I'm going to preach it. You know, but you don't want to forget it, so you write it down, you know. And when I was a kid, my grandma said to me one time, she said, Larry, I don't want you to forget that. I said, all right. She said, tie a ribbon around your finger. And I said, what? She said, tie a ribbon around your finger. And I said, why would I tie a ribbon around my finger? She said, because you'll ask yourself, why is there a ribbon on my finger? And you'll remember what it's all about. And I said, all right, well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, here, the Lord is saying to this church at Ephesus here, I want you to take a note, Ephesus. I want you to write down, hey, Ephesus, I want you to tie a spiritual ribbon around your finger. There are a few things that I do not want you to forget. And Christian, if they fell prey to this and they forgot these things, then you and I can be the same way. Hey, let's take a lesson from them. Let's learn something here. Let's not forget what God does not want us to forget. Oh, let me show you a few of them here in chapter 2 and verse number 1 of Ephesians. Look what the Bible says. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Hey, don't forget that you were dead, but you've been regenerated. Amen. If you don't want to fall out of love with God, walk away from your first love, hey, don't forget, you were dead, but you've been regenerated. Can you imagine, if you would please, that old Lazarus, you know, that gravestone and everything rolled away. He came out, loose him and let him go and all that. Can you imagine going up to Lazarus one day and say, man, Lazarus, it's good to see you. Man, I still haven't got over the fact that you were dead, but you rose again. And Lazarus saying to you, huh? You don't remember? Lazarus, you look like a burrito. You were all wrapped up, and they rolled that stone away, and you came walking out on that fourth day. And he goes, it sounds familiar. Lazarus, your sister Mary, your sister Martha, they were there, everybody was there. You know, it kind of sounds, listen, there's no way Lazarus ever forgot that he was dead. There's no way that slipped his mind. There was never a day he woke up and said, I forgot that. No, friend, he remembered that he was dead and had been risen from the dead. Now, friend, the same goes for you and I. How can we forget that we were dead in trespasses and in sins? But hey, glory to God, we've been resurrected or regenerated through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget that you were dead. Remember where you came from.
Amen.
Don't forget what God did for you. Remember that you were dead, but you've been made alive. I don't think there's anybody has to remind Brother Chitty who he used to be before he got saved. He knows. He remembers what God did for him. I think the problem we have oftentimes in Christianity is we get busy doing, and we forget where we came from. Well, I remember Nathan saying to David, he said, you know, David said, I want to build the Lord a temple. I'm tired of it dwelling in tents. I got a big old beautiful place. And Nathan said, Lord, want me to tell you something, David? He wanted me to tell you, remember where you came from, how I brought you out of the sheep coat. Yeah. He said, don't you forget where you came from. Listen, friend, if we're not going to fall prey to the same thing that the church at Ephesus did, we need to remember where we came from. Don't forget that God made a change in your life. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
others. Don't forget that God has made a change in your life. You used to walk like a heathen, talk like a heathen, live like a heathen. You had the desires of a heathen, but God loved you and God saved you. Friend, don't forget where you came from. You know, you want to know who has a form of religion but not in love with God? It's those who have forgotten where they came from. I like that song. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. Listen, don't forget what God did for you. Don't forget what God did for you when you trusted Him as Savior. Don't look down your nose at somebody who walks into church and they don't look like they've been saved for a million years like you have. They don't dress like you. They don't look like you. Friend, they're baby Christians. Don't look down your nose at them and think you're better than they are. Remember where you came from, friend. We all had to have a start at some point. Some of my young people are here from Miami. I remember our first days there, and we started a youth group. And man, I tell you, the teenagers we had coming into that church were something else. I remember one, we had our first youth activity. I was so excited, and we invited some teenagers. It's our first inaugural youth activity, man. And then teenagers started showing up, and I had one teenage boy, and he had his girlfriend, and they had a baby carriage with their baby. And they came, and I said, I don't think we're supposed to have babies at youth activities, you know. But they just got saved. Amen. I just had led them to Christ. You think I'm going to offend them and say, how can you have this baby out of what? They don't know any better. They were living like heathens. But God had saved their soul. Amen. Friend, don't forget where you came from. We had some teenagers came in at youth group, part of gangs, been shot, been stabbed. Hey, we even had one that looked real weird. He had dreadlocks that went all the way. Well, he might be here today serving God in Bible college and cut those dreadlocks off. Praise God. But listen, friend, God makes a change in people's lives. There's a man by the name of Tim Hawkins, and not the comedian, but the assistant pastor. Now he's pastoring in New Hampshire. And in his photo album at his house, he has, believe it or not, he has a clump of hair that's this long. It's rolled up in a photo album. You say, what has he got this clump of hair? Well, one day there was a stupid young man that started going to that church, and they took this young man to camp, and this young man had a rat tail that went to here. And he went to camp and heard some preaching on some things and realized, hey, I'm not living like a Christian. And he came back after Bible camp, and he sat there in Brother Tim's office waiting for his ride to arrive. And he said, hey, Brother Tim, I probably shouldn't have this rat tail, should I? And he goes, no, I don't think so. And I said, I think I ought to cut it off. Well, now you know who I'm talking about. And he said, I think so. He said, you gonna do it? I said, you got scissors? And he said, sure. He opened up his drawer, handed me some scissors. I pulled them out. I cut that rat tail off, and I was looking for a garbage can. He said, let me have that. I said, sure. To this day, there's a pastor somewhere who has my rat tail that's this long sitting in a photo album, but I remember where I came from. I know what God saved me from. I know who I used to be, but God, who is rich in mercy, saved me. How can I turn my back on Him? How can I fall out of love with Him after all that He's done for me, my friend? Oh, friend, remember, you say, well, I wasn't that bad. Well, good for you. Yeah. Let me remind you something. The book of James said if you offend in one, you offend in them all. Right. Yeah, I know that church at Corinth, they said they had some people who were effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. There's a lot of different violations in that Bible, and the Bible says you offend in one, you offend in them all. Right. So long before you start looking down your nose at someone who God's working on, Why don't you remember where you came from? Took just as much grace to save you, PK, as it did to save me. Amen. Hey, took just as much grace to save you, missionary kid, as it did to save Brother Chide. God saved you from something. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where He set you. Look at verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together. Raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. That's present tense. Friend, I get to sit. You know why I don't fall out of love with my Lord? Because I get to sit today in heavenly places with my Savior. When I'm alone in my office, in my reading, in my Bible, there are times I'm so glad I got glass doors and I'm like always hoping nobody walks by, you know. But there are times I get to read in this book and something starts to get a hold of me and I say, oh Lord, and I get excited and I start to weep a little bit and I start to praise and I say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I have my time. You say, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting in heavenly places. I'm enjoying my salvation. I sit in heavenly places in my Bible. When I'm worshiping my Savior, I'm seated in heavenly places. When I'm singing his praises, I'm seated in heavenly places. When I'm crying out to him in prayer, I'm seated in heavenly places. When I'm telling folks about Christ, I'm seated in heavenly places. When I'm testifying about God's goodness, I am seated in heavenly places. When I'm learning to lean on the everlasting arms of Almighty God, I am seated in heavenly places. Hey, friend, how about we don't forget some things? Yes. Number two, you were denied, but now you're accepted. Look at verse number 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, were called the uncircumcision by which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God. Woo! Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood. Woo! I was far from God. Listen, we're talking about these church at Ephesus. You know where they were at? Back in these days, your literal physical proximity to the temple declared how close you were to God. Yeah. And so people wanted to live as close to the temple as they could. And the further away you lived, the further away you lived. They said, oh, you're far from God. They were on the other side of the Mediterranean. They were far, this church at Ephesus. But Paul declares, listen, it's not about physical proximity that makes you close to God. He said, listen, you can be ever so close to God. You say, by what? By monorail? By boat? By ferry? By car? No! You're close by the blood. You can be as close as you want to be to God. You're the one who determines the nearness of God in your life. No one else. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto thee. They were Gentiles. You know what that meant? The church at Ephesus, you're a Gentile. That means you only get to enjoy the Gentile court of the temple. You know that they had inscriptions there in the Gentile court that said, no trespassing. It said, the court of the Gentiles. And it was written both in Greek and in Latin. And it's big words, no trespassing. Yeah. Court of the Gentiles. And they weren't allowed to go in any further. They weren't allowed to step one step further by because that sign said, no trespassing. You're a Gentile. You're not a Jew. This is a Gentile court in the temple. You can't get that close. You can't get any further. You're on the outer court. And don't try. And did you know something? The Romans had given full permission to the Jews to execute any Gentile who violated that law. Didn't have to go to court or anything. If a Gentile violated that law, the Jews had every right to go ahead and take care of business. Imagine that, a no trespassing sign. The Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood. I bought a farm in Fort Myers and a house, and my mom lives in that. In the back, there was a farm, a barn, and some acreage. I didn't buy that. I just bought the house out front. And so the people who owned the farm that was on the back of the property, they had a big sign on the barn that said, no trespassing, violators will be murdered. You know, they had that big sign there. And my kids, they would go to grandma's house and they would say, Daddy, what's in that barn? And I said, don't worry about it, it's not ours. And I said, I just want to know what's in it. And I said, it's not ours. The sign says no trespassing, leave it alone. One day, I contacted the owner. It's an older lady, she lived in Tennessee. And I said, would you sell me that? And she did. And so we go over there, and my kid said, "Dad, what are we doing?" I said, "Come with me." And they said, "Where are we going?" I said, "Walk with me." And we walked over there to that barn. And they said, "Daddy, it's no trespassing. Daddy, we don't own it." And I said, "Just come on with me." And they walked with me to the barn, and I grabbed that "Do not trespass" sign, and I ripped it off the barn. And they said, "Daddy, what are you doing?" And I said, "I own it. I bought it. It's mine. Help yourself." Listen, friend, my Savior, He bought it. He owns it. You say, "What did He spend?" He spent the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I now can get to God, thank the Lord, by the blood, the Bible said in verse number 13. Listen, you want to fall out of love with God? Then that's what you do. Forget where you came from. Forget what God's done for you, friend. You were denied, but now you have access. He broke down. Look at verse number 14. "For He is our peace, and hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Oh, friend, think about that. God Almighty said, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood, sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat, God Almighty said, boom, and He kicked in the door, and He says, "Come on, Gentiles." Amen. He came into His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him. That's me. "Many as received them, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Amen. There is no Jew section and Greek or Gentile section anymore. Grafted in, my friend. Look at verse 18. "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Not only is the middle wall turned down or kicked over, but listen, friend, the veil is ripped right in half. We have access to God. Don't forget this, friend. Don't forget, friend, that you have access to God. You can now get to God. What a blessing. Oh, let me give you something else real quick, and I have to be done. I have to be done. Verse number 20. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Thanks be to God. Not only, friend, were you dead and been made alive, not only were you denied, but now you're accepted. But listen to this. You were discarded, but now you've been inserted. Oh, praise the Lord. Thanks be to God that He put you into a local church. Friend, I thank God for the local church, the local New Testament church. You say, "Oh, preacher, I'm just losing my fire. I'm losing my zeal. I don't know what's going on anymore." I say, "I do. You forgot where you came from. You forgot what God's done for you." Friend, look at here. You get a local New Testament church. It was in the church that I got the assurance of my salvation as a teenager. Yeah. Praise the Lord for the church. It was in a church that God called me to preach. I'll never forget sitting down in a church one day, and there was this girl that I liked, and she liked me. And so her daddy was smart. He said, "You ain't sitting by her." He said, "You have to have someone in between you." So he put this little boy in between us, and I sat there. Oh, man. So I was visiting her church, you know, and the preacher, unfortunately for him, he was kind of boring. And so I was sitting there, and I didn't want to preach with all my heart. I didn't want to preach. I was scared to death. And that preacher was preaching, and I was sitting there, and I was like, "Man, I tell you what, if I were him, I'd say this. If I were him, man, if he needs to get out, let me get up there. I'll preach a little bit for the." And then I kept saying, "Larry, don't think that way. Don't think that way. Get those thoughts out. You're not supposed to be a preacher. Stop thinking that way." I didn't want to preach. I was scared to death to preach. So I sat there, and I'm like, "Lord, please tell me You're not calling me to preach, you know?" And I closed my Bible and sitting there in that church service, and I just kept thinking about it. "Larry, God's calling you to preach. I'm calling you to preach. I'm like, "No, Lord." And I said, "I just need to get my mind off of this. Got to stop thinking about this. Don't try to add to that man's sermon. Don't think you ought to be up there. Just get out of your mind." I said, "I'm just going to read the Bible." And just somewhere, I just opened it up and stuck my finger down there, and the Bible says something like, "Go and preach." And I was like, "Oh, Lord, come on now." I did it again, somewhere else. Same thing, said something about preaching. I did it a third time. Again, the word "preach" was in there. And I closed that Bible. I must have looked like a sheet of paper. And I said, "Oh, Lord, you know. And hey, listen, I thank God it was in church. I was called to preach. I surrendered to preach. Oh, thank God for your church. Thank God that you were dead, but made alive. Thank God he has made a change in you. While you were unlovable, God loved you. He set you in heavenly places. You were denied, but now you're accepted. The wall has been broken down. The veil has been torn in two. Remember, therefore, never get over your salvation. Do you remember when you were drowning in a sea of sin? Going down for the last time when you called upon his name, he reached down his nail-scarred hands and he lifted you out. So remember where you were back then and thank him for where you are now. Do you remember when, with all your heart, you longed to serve him, but you didn't think that Jesus, he could use someone like you? Oh, but look how he's used your life since he brought you out. So remember where you were back then and thank him for where you are now. Do you remember when? Do you? Do you remember when? Oh, friend, wherefore, remember, therefore. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for speaking to hearts. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for Pastor Carter and Brother Barry and all the work that went into it. I pray that you'll continue to bless this place, bless this conference. Thank you for the encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.